Right now, we have had, a lot of attention, let's face it, on long-term care facilities. The outbreaks that have been happening within these facilities and the dire situations, quite frankly, that are going to have to be taken care of. And it is the focus of, it's a different kind of rally, I guess. It's an online day of action looking at long-term care from the Ontario Health Coalition, who are putting this thing together and trying to keep the message out there. Natalie Mera is the Executive Director of the Ontario Health Coalition and joins us on the program. Natalie, how you doing?
I'm good. Thank you. How are you?
I'm all right. This has been, let's face it, we have sit here, and I remember, we've been talking for the last little while, months before this was ever happening, about the struggles and some of the problems that are facing long-term care homes across the province. And this pandemic has really kind of exacerbated them, hasn't it?
Yeah, and thank you for your coverage of this and telling their stories, you know, all the way through before this and now. It really does matter. And, you know, it's just hideous that it's taken a pandemic to start to even begin to get the baby steps towards what we need in order to stabilize the long-term care sector and actually improve things going forward. But we're still quite a long way from there, and we're just tracking the outbreaks. We're trying to track all of the cases in healthcare settings, hospitals, long-term care, retirement homes, and other settings. And we're finding that the numbers are still going up. From last week to this week, the death toll has almost doubled. It's really, really troubling and heartbreaking. About 4,000 or so staff and residents are infected in long-term care homes alone, more than 100 more, you know, almost 200 or several hundred more in retirement homes as well. You know, so it's still spreading very, very dramatically in those homes.
I guess it's got to be, you know, it's got to be frustrating that it's come to something like this where the broader population is going to be finally saying to the government, look, yeah, we have to address some of these concerns.
You know, on a very personal level, I'm angry. I really am angry. And I'm also very just, you know, heartbroken for the staff, for the residents and their families. There's just, it's so painful watching what's happening now. And, it's very hard to, it's nothing, obviously, compared to the people who are experiencing it firsthand, but it really is hard to watch. And it's been very, very frustrating because even now, the changes that we're getting are very slow and they're incomplete and they're, you know, not what's required. And so I'm hoping that people don't think that enough has been done, because it really hasn't been done yet. And we need... There are concrete measures that could be taken that would save lives, you know, going forward would make a big difference, and they need to happen. We need some pressure on the province to actually deliver, even on the promises that they made weeks ago.
Well, and it seems like some of the stuff they're talking about now and some of the things they're doing is more of a temporary fix for the immediate situation and not the longer-term discussion, which we can understand. There's a lot going on right now. I guess the longer-term things that need to be addressed are going to have to be done after this pandemic, after we can get through it. But at the same time, there's a lot more than just simply access to personal protective equipment and looking after the wages. There's a systemic problem here.
That's right. I mean, right now, very immediately, there is still a problem in access to PPE, that personal protective equipment. So the directives have improved dramatically from the province, but still some home managements are not following them. Still some staff can't get access to N95 masks. We're hearing about a shortage of gowns. Just even this week, we heard of people wearing garbage bags in some of the homes because they can't get the gowns, booties, you know, other personal protective equipment. So there's still immediate needs, like, you know, immediate access to the personal protective equipment that they need to stay safe, better infection control. You know, but also the homes are in critical, I mean, they were in critical staffing shortages before. I don't even have an adjective to describe the staffing shortages now. They're just so dramatic, so severe. There is no path out of this without stabilizing the workforce. There just isn't. And the conditions of care are the conditions of work. They're the same in those homes. And so there's a common interest between everyone, between the family members and the residents and the workers. There needs to be an improvement, and that can't be temporary. The $4 an hour bump up was dramatic and really so needed, so welcomed. I don't want to take away anything from what the Ford government has done. They have done a number of things to improve things, but that's temporary. And the staff shortages, you know, they're sending in these SWAT teams, but it's very sporadic. It's voluntary. It's quite chaotic. It's not coordinated. You know, they need a lot more. They need a lot more now. And then we need to set the conditions so that there's a chance to actually get staff into those homes in the long, for the long run. And that means improved wages and working conditions. It means full-time hours. And that needs to happen now so that going forward they can actually recruit. All the homes are hiring. I mean, you can see it everywhere. They're putting out notices. They're looking for staff desperately. Well, there needs to be something that makes that job attractive, particularly given the circumstance. And I just don't see a way out of this without that happening. There's not enough people to feed people. There's not enough people to reposition people. I mean, these are basic, you know, needs that just can't be met because the staffing crisis is so critical.
Well, and we talked about it before. It's a matter of trying to get some of those people into the simple the programs to learn to become simple PSWs and stuff. Like we have to be able to get those individuals trained and get them prepared and get them into this thing too.
That's right. So access to the college programs, the cost of the college programs is an issue. But even so, there are a lot of PSWs in Ontario. They're just, you know, the turnover in long-term care is very high. And at this point, staff have been required to choose one home, rightfully, to work in. So they have had to give up a number of other part-time jobs. There has been nothing from the province that actually has replaced all of those hours of work loss. We've heard from staff that have lost 40% of their income. So the $4 an hour bump up is huge. But, I mean, if you've lost half of the hours you're working, some homes voluntarily, the province has left it to the homes to voluntarily increase the hours of the staff. Some have done it, some have not done it, but it's just a, you know, it's an array of different things. Some homes have been just decimated by staff choosing a different home to work in. So all of this needs to be addressed.
Well, yeah,
and can be.
Yeah, well, and one of the other things that I think has become a glaring kind of question mark from the public is some of the for-profit kind of long-term care facilities that they've certainly, and that discussion seems like that the public is ready to have one there too.
For the first time in my 25 years of doing this, there's a real national debate about the consequence of the for-profit takeover that's happened in long-term care. In Ontario, the majority of the homes are for-profit. The majority of those for-profits are dominated by the large chain companies, many of them multinational, very large chain companies. And while there are great home, you know, managers and great, this is nothing to do with the workers themselves. It's the conditions that are set, you know, lower pay, no benefits, you know, higher turnover of staff because the working conditions are worse in many of the homes, you know, and that's not to take away. There are homes that are terrific, even for-profit homes where they've not had outbreaks. But when you look at all of the large outbreaks, virtually all of the very large outbreaks in Ontario are in the for-profit homes. That is because there is a systemic difference. You know, there is a problem. The hours of care are higher in the publicly owned and nonprofit homes. The outcomes are better. You know, the quality of care is better because often the working conditions are better.
Natalie, this is the catalyst for a really good conversation that ultimately makes the changes that are necessary in the long run. Thanks a lot for the chat today.
Thanks. We hope people do join the Day of Action. It's on our Facebook.